This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we open up a new week here on the program. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. I hope you had a nice weekend, as the boys will join here in just a second. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street there. Bar Canada at the D, as we open up the week and open up the show on this Monday, November 6th. We're going to close out tonight, week 9, NFL. The Chargers are at the Jets. Now, if you want to lay it with the Chargers, you can find a 3. If you want to take it with the Jets, you can find a 3.5. Right now, DraftKings is showing the Chargers laying 3.5 and a total of 41. So we'll get to that game, that breakdown coming up in just a little bit. College basketball, I'm sure you've heard, is back. Over 150 games today across the board. Actually, I have some good news. Mr. College Basketball, Thomas Gable, who runs the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City, texted me over yesterday. We can talk about these games. I'm all a big college basketball guy as well. We'll talk college hoops, but three of the games that he sent me yesterday, the line has moved against him today, although he said CLV early on this season may not mean as much. So we can talk about those three games from the one and only Thomas Gable. What else? We've got basketball, we've got hockey, we've got plenty to do. Just quickly, as we say hi to the boys, let's open up with some breaking news across sports, and then we'll get into, of course, the week that was, the week 9 in the NFL. We've got like, love, loathe to get to, and a lot to choose from, as the big guy gets a kind of coy smile on his face for some reason. Probably because he just came from the doctor's office and he's in a good mood, I guess. I don't know why he's laughing at me. Why? Why are you laughing at me?
I'm scared you're going to ask me a question that's going to trigger me on a Monday.
I'm not going to ask you anything. I just want to say this quickly, though. Craig Counsell does have a new home, boys. Amal, he goes to the Cubs. Little awkward because David Ross is the Cubs manager, and he is getting paid through 2024, but Counsell leaves Milwaukee and ends up with the Cubs here.
Well, if everybody can sign up for that Josh McDaniels plan, you know, get paid but not have to work, it's fantastic. And it does seem like a little bit better fit from my perspective than going to New York. I think Counsell, who's a guy from Wisconsin, going right down the road to Chicago, a little bit simpler, easier for him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Cubs going forward.
Steven Voigt, I think I'm saying it correctly, he was an all-star. He's going to replace Terry Francona there with the Guardians in Cleveland, big guy. So Voigt, who's just 39, I just remember him as an Oakland A. And then the bench coach for the Yankees is staying in town, although he's going from one borough over to the next. The Mets grab Carlos Mendoza from the Yankees, and he'll be coaching in Queens. He'll be managing your Metsies.
First of all, Craig Counsell is going to make $8 million as the Cubs manager. That would make him the highest paid player on the Athletics right now. So good money for him as a manager. As far as the Mets hire, going to be honest, had to look the guy up. Had to ask my friends who are Yankee fans about him. You know what they said? We don't know who he is either, and he was on our bench the last couple seasons. It's a good thing the New York Mets fired Buck Showalter so they could bring in a guy who learned under a guy that should have been also fired this past offseason in Aaron Boone. Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on, you couldn't just kept Buck Showalter? This makes no sense.
All right, so the big guy fired up on a Monday about a guy he's never heard of. So maybe he ends up being a gem and you're going to eat your words. I hope, well, for your sake, you will.
How important is a baseball manager? One's getting $8 million and the other one I have to Google to find out anything about him. And guess what? There's not that much out there about him.
Well, how important is a baseball manager? Ask the Texas Rangers, who in 61 years had never won a championship. Bring in Bruce Bochy, and 10 minutes later, they win one. I think that's important.
Yeah, I'd rather Ramiro Mendoza than Carlos Mendoza at this point. It's all irrelevant.
Oh, gosh. Optimistic Monday for the Metropolitans, I see here. And listen, he's got 15 years on the Yankees bench. I'm sure he's learned a thing or two. He can deal with the pressure in New York probably better than a lot of other people can. Let's give him a chance before we decide to throw him out on the first day.
And you are not just a Mets fan, but you're a Giants fan. So breaking news as we open up a week here on Sharp Money. Daniel Jones, you saw him go down awkwardly in Las Vegas, right down the street from you guys, boys, with the knee injury. He has torn his ACL. The season is over. the week 9 injury and loss to the Raiders. So Daniel Jones is officially out, Amal.
Yeah, this is obviously interesting now going forward where the Giants wind up with a draft pick, Patrick, because you've got some quarterbacks in this draft, Caleb Williams, Drake May, two of them among many others who you're going to be considering to make a choice on. You just signed Daniel Jones to a 4-year, $160 million contract coming into this offseason. I still thought they should have franchise tagged him. Now, when you look at this injury and the timing of it, we're in November. He's going to be out probably through what? The start of training camp at the very least. I don't know how quickly that recovery would be for him, but the Giants have some big, big offseason decisions ahead.
Will they add a quarterback is fascinating because obviously Tommy DeVito is not the answer.
You don't think
but
so?
We could be looking at some inflated numbers in these Giants games to close out the year. We've got a half a season to go and it could be Tommy DeVito. That's a disaster.
No, you made a great point. We don't know if Tommy DeVito is the answer. I think we need to find out. Let's find out if Tommy DeVito is the next franchise quarterback for the Giants. Tyrod Taylor shouldn't touch the field. Tommy DeVito should take every snap. He should throw it at least 50 times a game. We should make sure as a Giants fan that Tommy DeVito, we see every single aspect of his game before the season is over.
Are you drunk?
No.
You have questions as to whether or not bada bing, bada boom, DeVito is your number one?
No, he wants to ensure the first overall pick.
I know Tyrod Taylor will get in the way of the number one overall
Monday.
Pick.
Yeah.
He wants to get that first overall pick.
I think that's fair.
You want Caleb to come with Alex Grinch? Bring him with him? He can help him get employed?
At this point, if we could get Caleb Williams on the Giants, he can bring whoever he wants. He can bring his manicurist, whoever's coming along for the ride.
I will say this. I mentioned to you, because we don't do college football on Mondays. We've got plenty of week to do. But I don't know. I don't know what the buyout. I don't know what the situation is with Lincoln Riley here in Los Angeles. I'm just going to tell you right now, it is a freaking disaster. First off, that Washington running back hadn't run for 100 yards all season. He went for like 270 against Alex Grinch's defense. And then Caleb, look, I legitimately, the tough guys online that want to kill the guy for crying, that's not the issue. The issue is just the whole package. And when you're talking about Caleb Williams, who jumped up and, you know, was hugging his mom and was crying and she covered him with a little placard there, I have no problem with that. I have a problem with him. Max Duggan last year, Max Duggan was caught on camera crying after a loss last year, and he tweeted it. Caleb Williams was like LOL. So I think it's more of just a personality thing that's starting to become I don't know if it's a red flag, Amal, but certainly Caleb Williams, there's some things popping up here and it has nothing to do with showing emotion.
Yeah, I'm with you on the crying. I didn't have an issue with that. I want a guy who cares that much in this team that's not going to make the college football playoff, not going to win a Pac-12 title. And when you look at his career there between Oklahoma and USC, he's never going to have played in a college football playoff game. Really, that falls on Lincoln Riley. And it's really unfortunate if you're a Trojan backer. But you're right. Dylan Johnson, I'm sure the UW fans, as much as the Purple People Eater fans up there are crazy about that team, they had to look up on the roster going, wait, who?
Yeah, that was the big talk here in Los Angeles is Riley should have been fired for holding out on firing Grinch. Yeah. Like the idea that he was that, I guess, reckless with the program by keeping a defensive coordinator that absolutely just torpedoed the season. So I don't know. There's a lot of smoke here is all I'll say about the situation, the coaching position. Maybe you two were right because I was higher on Lincoln Riley than the two of you. And right now it's a disaster. It's a team that not just defensively, they get pushed around up front consistently game to game.
He's James Franklin with a system. Like he has an interesting offensive system that works, gets you to a certain point. He recruits really well, but when it comes to the big games, disappears every single time.
I would actually say James Franklin's better because he doesn't have the same talent that's in Ann Arbor and Columbus, and he at least gets them to 10-2, takes care of business against opponents he should. There's none. I mean, did any of us think, I was not as high on the Trojans coming into the season as all the pundits had them going to the playoff, but did you guys think that USC would be sitting at 3 losses with a potential loss coming to UCLA? You've got another game down the pike here coming up against Oregon where you're a 15-point underdog.
It's crazy.
I mean, this team is looking at a 7-5 season, Patrick. I don't think too many people had the Trojans looking ready for Andy Enfield's basketball team.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, he did, what do you have, two Final Four appearances in Norman?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can have a cross comparison to Happy Valley and Norman, and Riley did it, but I would agree with you guys. This has been underwhelming, and just the kind of way it's transpired here in Los Angeles, like year two with all the fertile recruiting grounds and just the opportunities NIL-wise here in Los Angeles, it should be going better for Lincoln Riley, and it's certainly not. If you did... maybe Amal did. If you had Tottenham at plus money today at home against an overvalued Chelsea squad, it's 1-0 Spurs. All right. It's like plus 140. I was surprised to see that price for a team atop the table.
I was too. And we get a quick goal here. I didn't even realize, Patrick, that they already got on the score sheet pretty quickly in this one. Tremendous matchup here in the London Derby. Should be a good one here. But you're absolutely right. This Chelsea team is kind of living on the name and the reputation. You're absolutely right. Shouldn't have been a plus price, particularly playing at Spurs.
Did you get down on Tottenham Hotspur, big guy?
No, I got up on it.
You got up on it?
James Brown style. Get on up.
All right. Well, when we return, boys, we've got plenty to do. It is a week nine that I found to be quite compelling. And I don't know about you, and this is a big Cincinnati Bengal house. And even with that, I can't start with the Bengals. I have to go to Columbus by way of Houston. When we return, we have to, first off, we're going to start in Carolina and fire everybody that analyzed the draft. Okay. And then hand to God, probably me as well. But if you're getting paid and you pass on CJ Stroud and you're in a front office and you take Bryce out, he could end up being a fine quarterback. CJ Stroud is doing things right now spectacular. And that game at home, it's a 4-4 team all of a sudden in the playoff hunt because of one player right now. And that kid is awesome. When we return, we'll start there. CJ Stroud had the best game as a rookie we've seen maybe ever. Texans to start. Never thought I'd say that this year.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show, hosts and guests, and the rest of the network as well. You also get unlimited access to our VSIN.com/picks page, sort by picks, by sport, matchup, event date, time, and more. Check the top VSIN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, ROI, and see which VSIN experts have the hot hand for VSIN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at vsin.com/subscribe. I do want to give a shout out. And I believe if you sign up for the VSIN Daily over at vsin.com, you just enter your email address. It's free, put together by our fearless leader, Bill AD. And on Saturday morning, Samich had his Breeders' Cup plays or a few of the races in there. And I want to give a shout out to our buddy Mike Samich and Aaron and Jared. Of course, Aaron's been on the show a bunch. Aaron Halterman over at RacingDudes.com and VSiN.com. They cleaned up on Saturday Breeders' Cup. Oh, yeah. Well, first off, I know this. You guys are just going to laugh. Samich won just $22,000 on one race. He was in a contest. He needed the five and the six, the five cash, 22 grand from the contest he entered. And that's just aside from, I'm sure he doesn't care if I said that. That's just aside from Friday and Saturday at Breeders, how much he won just with his regular picks. But he won a contest for like $22,000.
That's
weird.
It was
insane.
I'm looking at my phone. I don't see all these picks via text message. Maybe something's wrong with the towers.
So a quick question, Patrick. In terms of the contest, What is it like? You're picking in five, six different races, or how does that work? I know nothing about horse racing.
It's like a pick five. It's a contest from race to whatever, what races to this race, and you're competing against others. So I don't know if it was a carryover from a race on Friday with the kids. We call them the kids because the younger horses race on Friday and then juveniles and then into Saturday. All I know is his contest ended, I believe, race six on Saturday, Breeders' Day. And he just casually texted me, "We need the five here for 22K. And the five was a favorite. Five was a tremendous European horse, and it was on turf. European horses on turf are way better than American horses. It was never a sweat. I texted and I was like, wow, 22 grand. He's like, let's keep it going. Okay. He's just very casual. Let's keep it going. Okay, Samich. Yes, let's keep it going.
Congratulations to Mike, Aaron, and company. That was great.
Yeah, they did a great job. And so VSiN.com, you could have got those plays or a couple of the races if you sign up for free, the VSiN Daily, which is the table setter for your betting news every day here at VSiN. On Mondays, we go like, love, loathe, and I started us out here, Amal. I went like with the Ravens, who, again, have beaten Detroit, Seattle, and Cleveland by a combined 103-12. They're rolling. It's time for your like.
Let's go to Fly Philly Fly in the city of brotherly love. Nobody's talking about this team because Jalen Hurts is not playing as well as he did last year. He already has 8 interceptions on the season. Philadelphia, Patrick, is sitting at 8-1 with a win over their biggest division rival in terms of the Dallas Cowboys, already beaten the Commanders twice. And this is a team that's not getting enough credit despite having a -2 turnover margin. Let's start the only positive on the defensive side of the ball. They're number one against the run, giving up less than 67 yards per game. Just an absolute dominant defensive run, line-stopping run that they've got up front. They're doing great there. They're still giving up 22 points per game. That's a major negative. But you know what? On the offensive side of the ball, people are not giving this team enough credit. Number 2 in total yardage offensively in the National Football League. Number 8 in passing yards. Number 7 in rushing yards. And then number 2 in points per game. And the only reason they're behind the Miami Dolphins right now, because Miami's gotten to play the Denver Broncos and they put up a 70 spot. I don't think we're taking into account how well this Philadelphia Eagles team is playing. They had one bad loss on the road in New Jersey against the Jets when Jalen Hurts probably played his worst game as a Philadelphia Eagle the last couple of years with a couple of crucial turnovers in that game. That was the difference. We saw the Jets eke out the win. That was the game in which Jalen Hurts had 3 interceptions. And I thought some of that was on coaching, on Nick Sirianni and company, but this team finds ways. Dallas takes over with 46 seconds or so to go against Philadelphia yesterday at their own 14. Bradbury gets called for a big pass interference that puts the ball around midfield. Then we have a an offside, and another penalty against the Eagles. They move the ball down to about the 6-yard line. Dallas gets a false start. Then they get through off what would be first and 10 from the 11-yard line. Cowboys can't do it. Philly's defense rises to the challenge. And then the Eagles, we need to start respecting what they're doing at 8-1. We talk about the 49ers, and I got to tell you, I've been the person leading that parade with San Francisco. But Fly Philly Fly is not going anywhere. The road to the Super Bowl in the NFC appears like it's going to go through this division, because unless they lose 2 more games, which obviously is very possible, but they have that crucial matchup in December against the 49ers. But that is at the link. They win that game, the Niners are going to have to come back there one more time. Your Detroit Lions are playing very, very well. However, at the end of the day, if that team has to go outdoors to Philadelphia, I think it's going to be a much stiffer challenge than it is to have them hosted in Detroit in the Dome to get to the Super Bowl. I think Fly Philly Fly is the team to beat, and this is my like for the week. Watch out for the Eagles. They're still coming on strong and are going to be the team to beat in the NFC.
It's a great one, and we do have a clip. When I am picking, like if I start handicapping, I think the 3 components for a team is quarterback, defensive front, and head coach. Like if you have a good defensive front, you've got a good quarterback, you've got a good head coach. That's why I think the Eagles should be your favorite right now in the market to win it all. And correct me if I'm wrong, boys, doesn't it seem as though the Eagles are 8-1 while Jalen Hurts is trying to get healthy? Yeah. Playing himself into shape, as opposed to, it does appear that he's banged up, right?
And he'll get to get healthier because it is their bye. Now, out of the bye, they go to Kansas City, at Buffalo, San Francisco, at Dallas, at Seattle. That is a brutal stretch. They're going to need him to be healthy there. I want to hear from Sirianni here because I have a question. Feels like he's a guy who's like half donk, half genius when he speaks. Like, I go back and forth, like maybe he knows what he's doing, maybe he doesn't. This was him talking about their mindset being 8-1 right now.
When you're truly in that mindset and you're willing to get better each day, no matter how you feel, that's got to be the mindset. I'm tired today. Oh, we're 8-1 today. Oh, we're 2-8 today. Whatever the heck it is, you have to be in a mind. It's a mental challenge, and you have to be mentally tough to say, I'm going to get better today, and I'm going to treat today the same way I treated the other day, regardless of how I feel today. And so... You're funny, hero. And so that's our mission and that's our goal. And our goal, I know there are going to be a lot of chatter about this and that. Now they got this lead and they have the best record. And I'm saying, we don't care about any of that. All we care about is how we get better to win our next game, how we rest our bodies this week, how we go 1-0 each day the following week to try to go 1-0 against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's our mission because there's this huge mountain to climb. But you can't climb the mountain all in 1 week. And when you look up that mountain and you start to just look up at how much more you got to climb, that's what makes you slip when you do that. And so your steps have to be, your head has to be down, your focus has to be on the mountain, your focus has to be on your next step, and that'll be our next practice. And this week, take rest in our bodies.
It was a good clip. The Gettysburg Address was shorter. The big guy with the editing issues. First off, 100% donk. I will say Sirianni on the sideline does inspire confidence. I think he's a tremendous coach. That's just the vibe I get. I have no clue, right? There was a little intermission there where it was a very sweet moment with his daughter. So for those of you listening on the radio, that's what that little brief intermission was. But if we're talking donks, the donk was on the other sideline yesterday. Mike McCarthy is the anchor. Dak was good in the game. Ferguson was tremendous in the game. McCarthy is an anchor. I'm sorry.
You're not wrong in any way, shape, or form. You mentioned in this particular matchup, Dak Prescott, he was tremendous. 29 for 44, 3 touchdowns and 374, 115 quarterback rating. But more importantly, he put his team in the position to win. The only objection I had to Dak yesterday was when they had an opportunity, I thought he should have spiked the ball on second down after he got sacked, try to expedite the process there a little bit instead of being rushed to run the next play. I thought that was a little bit of a mistake, but it just feels like, to me, guys, it's now become a mental block with the Dallas Cowboys against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a Super Bowl team. This is a team that you just feel like is slightly better than Dallas. But the Cowboys had some opportunities. And how about Dak's foot stepping out of bounds on that two-point conversion? We would have been looking at a game-tying field goal here.
They beat the only thing missing there from that Sirianni clip, big guy, was 4 score, you know?
I believe he was elected on this date in 18, going to get the year wrong, 60. Let's keep in mind, this Dallas team beat the Giants. They beat the Jets in week 2, just getting used to Zach Wilson back under center. Lost to Arizona, beat New England, beat the bad Chargers, beat the bad Rams. They're kind of a fraud. Not buying it.
I don't necessarily sign off with you on the Chargers, but the one thing you got to give them credit, they have destroyed some of the other teams that they've beaten. But then again, the 49ers beat them like a drum.
Dustin did edit the Mike McCarthy clip. That's coming up. It starts like this. Ask not what your country can do for you.
Well, hey, by the way, do we want blue or white in the soccer game?
The clip was legitimately 23 minutes. We're coming back with the big guys like.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. Kick off a new week here, November 6, 2023. Hope you had a nice weekend. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, downtown Las Vegas. We're going to go from Vegas and Los Angeles out to New Jersey, of course. MetLife, the closer, week 9 tonight. You've got the Jets hosting, of course, the Los Angeles Chargers. I should know better. And I don't know if it's a disrespect angle that the Jets can play tonight, but right now DraftKings is showing the Chargers laying 3. Actually, they've come off the 3 down to 3, 3.5 down to 3, 115 juice on the 3, so potentially headed back to 3.5 with the Chargers, but pretty much everybody's showing the Chargers laying 3 and a total of 41 to discuss the Jets and Chargers tonight. Antoine Staley is going to join us right now. New York Daily News, Jets reporter and columnist. You can find Antoine on Twitter at Antoine Staley. He's actually checking in from MetLife where he'll be covering the game. Hi, Antoine. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And why don't we start there with an angle? It's a team in the Jets that have won 3 straight. Do you think, have they been playing up the disrespect angle this week because the Chargers come in favored here?
No, I don't think so. I think people have just kind of been doubting, you know, the Jets all year. I mean, I think part of it is like late towards their offense has been really anemic. They're one of the worst offenses, you know, statistically in NFL. I think they're 31st in total offense and 26th in points per game. But they've still been finding ways to win games through their defense and also special teams. So, yeah, I can kind of see why people are, you know, have been hesitant to get on the Jets bandwagon, especially considering, you know, what the teams that are in the AFC and how strong they look. But, you know, they found ways to win games, and, you know, not for nothing, they were the only team that so far is able to beat the Eagles. So, yeah, they feel like, you know, they have enough. They have the talent. They have everything it takes to make the playoffs. We'll see, because it's definitely a big game for both of these teams, especially with wild card. I mean, well, you know, tiebreaker implications and wild card implications as well.
Antoine, I've never seen a game where a team won without weather being a critical factor on four plays, and that's exactly what happened last week. How did the Jets get that corrected offensively? I mean, they were absolutely anemic.
I mean, it's been like that all year. I mean, they can't, you know, convert on third downs and red zone touchdowns. They're like at the bottom. So, yeah, it's been a big problem all year. I think the big thing is it's just, you know, finding ways to get, you know, third and manageable situations and, you know, being able to run the ball effectively with, you know, Breece Hall in those situations. Because I think teams are expecting them to run the ball with Hall. And then they would like to get the Jets in third and long situations and have Zach, you know, also, you know, throw the football. But I think also part of it is their offensive line. They've had, you know, a lot of injuries there. They've had 10 different offensive linemen start games through seven games of the season. I don't know how that ranks with the rest of the league, but, you know, that's a lot. You know, it's considering, you know, things, and they're not even officially halfway through the season. But yeah, I think a lot of it's linked to their offensive line and also the player Zach Wilson, which has been up and down at times.
Up and down is a good way to describe Zach Wilson. Antoine Staley joins us here discussing, of course, Monday Night Football closing out week 9. Let's talk about the quarterback and then we can get into game plan. But just give us an idea. Wilson put a tough spot. Antoine, we understand what happened with Rodgers. Where does he stand in that locker room right now? I'd be curious.
Well, I think last year, I mean, it was a whole different situation where I feel like, you know, the Jets, they did hand them the keys to, you know, their car and was hoping that he could steer them to the playoffs. And, of course, he ended up getting benched a couple of times there. And I think, you know, that humbled Zach a little bit. And obviously going out to get Aaron Rodgers, they gave him an opportunity to kind of step back a little bit. And he wasn't expected to play at all. And then, of course, four plays into, you know, the offensive season for the Jets, then everything changes. And now he is the guy, the starting quarterback for the, you know, the Jets, at least seems like it's going to be for this season, although, you know, we'll see what happens with Aaron later on. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I think his teammates are really, you know, they really back Zach, and I think he's won the locker room back considering, you know, he had a lack of accountability a year ago, you know, really was not, you know, he really did not want to accept responsibility for his play. That's not the case this year. He's definitely, you know, even when he's played, you know, relatively well against the Chiefs, you know, he accepted the blame there that, hey, I fumbled the ball and, you know, didn't give us an opportunity to win the game there. And I definitely think he's a teammate, so seeing that, and they've really come to his defense and they really have his back. So I think we think, you know, it's a much different locker room, and they really support Zach Wilson at this point.
Should we? Well, if I could just follow up quickly, I apologize. But Antoine, I wanted to ask you, because nobody gets closer to these teams and these players and those on the beat and you on the beat for the Daily News. Have you noticed 23 years old last year for Wilson, now just 24, so he is very young. Have you noticed a difference in maturity covering the kid?
Yeah, I think so. Like I say, I think he's been something more accountability now, something that he was not doing last year. I remember, you know, the game that he essentially got him benched against the Patriots when they lost 10-3. You know, he blamed it on the win. He blamed it on a lot of different things, but himself. And he was also asked that, did he feel like he let the team down after just having 77 yards passing and was 9-for-22? And he said no. And then I think that resonated negatively in the locker room. And then I think at that point they had to bench him. I think this year he's a much more mature guy, you know, saying the right things there, you know, at the end of games, even though it might not be his fault. You know, he's accepting that accountability no matter what. And I definitely think everybody's seen, you know, the growth in from Zach Wilson from last year to this year.
Antoine, how is Robert Saleh received in this locker room? Because he has been an ardent supporter of Zach Wilson, and the defense has played at a level that would be championship caliber. But has the frustration spilled over at all? I know you talked about him winning the locker room back, but just based on the performance we've seen, what has the vibe been with Saleh compared and with how he's managed the team?
Well, I think the players really enjoy Robert Saleh and kind of what he's brought to the table. He's been a player's coach, too. I mean, he says the right things. He has his players back, too. And, yeah, I think the players are willing to run through a wall for him, and I think they have as well because they're winning games that they're not supposed to win. I mean, last week against the Giants, I mean, on paper, the Jets were the better team, but yeah, they had no business really winning that game. I thought the Giants, you know, for probably about 58 minutes outplayed the Giants. And then it was just up for that 24-second stretch where, you know, the Jets ended up tying the game and then forced overtime and ended up winning it there. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you don't win games like that unless you have somebody that's a leader of men. And I think that's what Robert Saleh has done. And I definitely think that the team has really reflected that, this gritty style of winning. And, you know, that's their identity. And that's kind of how it's going to have to be their identity if they're going to, you know, get to the playoffs or, you know, even contend in the AFC.
Give me the game plan for the Jets tonight. Antoine Staley joining us, New York Daily News. The Jets win tonight. Now, it's a low total. Maybe you can fill us in on the weather there in Jersey tonight as well. But why don't you kind of construct a game-winning plan for the Jets tonight against the Chargers?
Well, weather won't be a factor. I think it's like 50 degrees right now. It's like clear. So, yeah, it's no rain like it was last week with the Giants game. But, you know, I think if they're going to win, obviously converting on third downs, red zone opportunities there. And, you know, I think, you know, them running the football, it's cause they're going to have to run the football with it, you know, Breece Hall and be effective too. And if they can protect that Wilson, I definitely think, you know, that'd be beneficial to them. And because, you know, the Chargers have two elite pass rushers in Khalil Mack and obviously Joey Bosa, who can get pressure there. We kind of saw what the Giants were able to do last week. I imagine the Chargers are probably to have a similar game plan of way attacking Zach Wilson and the Jets. So, yeah, they're just going to have to find a way to protect Zach Wilson because otherwise it could be a long night for the Jets offense once again.
When you look at this Jets defensive team, you guys have played Mahomes, they played Jalen Hurts so far, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen. They've done a really nice job from a defensive standpoint in terms of limiting these other opponents. What is going to be the key tonight in terms of limiting Justin Herbert, despite the fact that they've got some injuries on the offensive side of the ball? We know Mike Williams is out for the year as well.
Yeah, I think getting pressure on them. I think that's basically what it is. The Jets usually don't like to blitz a whole lot. But, you know, if they can find some ways to get pressure on Herbert without blitzing, you know, their front four necessarily doesn't have the sacks like they did a year ago. But I think Jermaine Johnson has done a tremendous job. He's on pace to have 10 sacks this year. Bryce Huff is an underrated player. I think people are starting to find out him about the league. His pressure rate is better than any, you know, edge rusher in the league right now. So, yeah, I definitely think those two guys have to be a bit faster in getting pressure on Herbert. And that way, you're going to force some turnovers there. You saw with, you know, when they beat the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, they forced three interceptions. They forced some interceptions with Patrick Mahomes, even though they didn't win the game there. And same thing with Josh Allen. They also forced them to turn the ball over four times. And, you know, if they can't generate the turnovers against Herbert, I think, you know, the defense is going to be in some big trouble. But, you know, that's been the call of the Jets all year, just forcing turnovers and capitalizing on mistakes there. And it also gives their offense a shorter field where they're able to score touchdowns and get points.
MetLife, we got about a minute here, Antoine. It can be a little antiseptic. You know that. It's a weird vibe there because it's so cavernous. But the Jets are the only team in town with the Giants completely done. Do you expect there to be some juice tonight in Jersey for this matchup?
Yeah, anytime the night games have been really like a lot of juice there. So this is the last night game, home night game of the year, unless something crazy happens there, at least in the regular season anyway. But yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a lot of juice, a lot of excitement there. People are going to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in the building once again, not, you know, walking without, you know, the golf cart driving them around there. So I'm sure people will be excited about that too. So yeah, I expect it to be a big crowd and a lot of excitement for the game tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Antoine. Antoine Staley, New York Daily News, covers the Jets beat. He's there already at MetLife, so it's a long night ahead for you. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. It's weird. I said I used antiseptic to explain it. Does it play that way on television, guys? Because MetLife is, for a stadium that was built, 13, 14 years ago, it is a dump.
It looks like a convention center.
I like that.
It convention center is a good way to explain it. It has less than zero feel. Like, I know people talk about New Yankee Stadium, and I would agree with that. That has a pretty antiseptic feel as well. But it is just, you know, obviously always built in the same area in the middle of nowhere there in Jersey. But they just, there's no charm to that building. Anyway, Maras and Tisch built it, and the Jets rent. The Woody with the Johnsons rent from the Maras and the Tishes. When we return, we get back. We'll get into Monday Night Football and our predictions, but we get back to our loathes, like love loathe.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, DraftKings, bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. And by the way, they've got the best price on Eckler's receiving prop. Get it over there to DraftKings and use the promo code SHARP for new customers. Plus, a no-sweat same-game parlay. The big guy just built one for Monday Night Football every day for all bettors. DraftKings, the crown is yours. And I mentioned, because I'm looking at a couple of different books right now, I'm looking at one book that has Austin Eckler, both Dustin and I, on Eckler over receiving yards. Dustin this morning got him at 32.5. I'm sure he paid a little juice. I'm looking at a book right now showing 36.5, $1.30 juice. However, if you go to DraftKings, and I'm looking right now live, 33.5 receiving yards for Eckler, -125 if you want to go over. That's the best price in the market that I found, boys.
Yeah, I paid take a look. 133 I got this morning juice.
At 32.5.
Yes.
Again, whether it's on paper with Zach Wilson at quarterback, the Chargers should be favored.
Yeah.
But this is a team that doesn't do well against physicality. It's a team that can't run the football. They want to throw it all over the field. We just saw Palmer. We already know about Williams. Palmer to the IR. So their options starting to get limited. The Jets on defense are starting to get healthy. Not officially playing aside, but that 3.5 earlier was juicy, and you can still find a 3.5 in the market for the Jets. Secondary's healthy, defensive front, they're going to get to, again, 41's a low total. They're going to get to the quarterback, obviously, and Justin Herbert. I don't know if the Jets are going to have to do a ton. I think this is going to be ugly. They're going to look to muck it up. I think it's, look, the Chargers, they break your heart every single week in weird ways. To be laying it on the road, a weird travel spot for them. Again, that was last week against the Bears, where they looked ridiculous. This is a different opponent with this defense than the Jets.
Well, they just went from a high school defense to a top five caliber defense in the National Football League. And you guys brought up a couple of good points here. The Chargers are a team that break your heart consistently. The other thing to me is, as good as Justin Herbert is from a talent standpoint, it feels like when the game and the competition elevates a little bit, there's a little inconsistency with him. He plays very, very well against some inferior opponents, but can he step up now? You're playing a team like the Jets, who are sound at all three levels defensively. You turn the ball over here, it's going to be a real problem, even though the Jets' offense has been inconsistent. The Chargers defensively have some deficiencies, and then the Jets might be able to get things going a little bit here. This is an important game for Zach Wilson and this Jets offense. Patrick, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I said this last week, I love the Jets. This was a money line play for me on the Jets +150 at home, Monday Night Football. The Jets, as you alluded to earlier, have won three in a row. Guys, they've only given up more than 21 points twice all year. That was against Dallas. They were completely flat in that spot. And then Kansas City scored 23 points against them, but they scored 17 in the first quarter. Then the Jets defense buckled down the next three quarters.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Look, Salah knows what he needs to do here. It's Breece Hall and that defense. Keep it simple, stupid, and just grind out a win.
How weird are the Chargers? Their general manager, Tom Telesco, who, by the way, has been there a long time to be underachieving this long, he actually pulled the defensive backs aside after they traded J.C. Jackson a couple weeks ago and apologized to them for adding him to their locker room, that he was a bad fit. I swear to God, he called the signing a swing and miss, and he apologized to them because he didn't show the same type of commitment that the rest of the group was paying to the team. That is how wild this Chargers team is. I think they're so bad defending the pass, I'd normally look at some Jets receiver props, but it's really hard to bet Jets receivers props with Zach Wilson at quarterback, especially in prime time. They don't want him to mess things up, like you were saying. But I do have a lean on Garrett Wilson over 66.5 receiving yards. They allow almost 200 yards receiving per game to receivers, 13 receptions per game to receivers do the Chargers. So I wouldn't hate it if someone went over on Garrett Wilson, because they can be beaten through the air. And Garrett Wilson's a guy that Wilson's always looking for and can get you that yak after the catch.
I agree with everything you said about Garrett Wilson, except my one concern, Patrick, is I just don't know if Zach Wilson can deliver a consistent ball.
That's why I'm not betting it. It would be just a lean, but they are so bad defensively, he might only need two or three pops to get it.
I mean, there are times where Zach Wilson will throw you, which is a benefit for the offense, into a pass interference because the throws are so errant.
Yeah, if you don't mind paying juice, Breece Hall receiving props make sense to me. I think he's going to be heavily involved in the passing game. A lot of checks down, just get the ball to him in space.
Okay, what'd you do with your same game parlay?
So with that note, I think the running backs on both sides are going to be involved in the passing game. So we're going to go Eckler over his receiving yards, 33.5. Breece Hall over his receiving yards. And then Hall over 2.5 receptions, which I think he will get there. The only reason it's not a bet is because it's juiced to hell. And then Austin Eckler over 4.5. And Breece Hall, anytime touchdown, because when they get in the red zone, they don't want Zach Wilson screwing things up. They're going to make sure it's Breece Hall who gets them to the promised land. So my only question, with all the mentions of juice, what is your favorite kind of juice, guys?
Tomato.
Grapefruit.
I actually love tomato juice. I'm going to go orange. I'll keep it simple. I do love orange.
By the way, I wanted to call out something that you've been using a lot lately. And look, it's up to your volition. You can continue to use it. But you've been saying promised land lately.
Oh, have I?
A lot. Oh, like no. a lot. Get them. You've been saying, quote, get them to the promised land lately. It's pretty weird.
Based on current events, I probably shouldn't be saying that word.
Because you're not usually a cliche guy. So I've just kind of like sat up straight every time I've heard it. I'm like, Dustin's, he's mailing it in at the end of these sentences with take him to the promised land.
No, I just, you know, I end up speaking more than anticipated, taking myself down tangents, and I don't really have a GPS to guide me to the end. I almost said the promised land again there. Almost did it.
You got a basketball play tonight too, Big A.
Yeah, look, this is how I attack the NBA. When players are out, I try to find someone who's going to benefit. Derek White's not going to play for Boston. Without White Saturday, Drew Holiday went for 18, 9, and 10. He's going to be asked to play more of a point guard distribution role. His points, rebounds, and assists is even money, set at 27.5. Feels really low. He's averaging right around there with White in the lineup. I think he should get more assists tonight as a facilitator, which will bring everything else up. 27.5 just feels way too low for Drew Holiday.
Just a quick add-on to the Boston game. Porzingis is going to be a game-time decision with an eye injury.
So that could help Drew as well.
Kristaps. By the way, Council got $8 million a year. I think he said that earlier, right, Dustin? That's crazy.
Yeah, I think someone said, I saw someone on Twitter say that his deal, like for the years and the amount he's going to get per year, would be the 11th biggest contract in Chicago White Sox history for a player.
But what's the Cubs, man, they really want a Council because they're going to pay. I'm guessing Ross was making what, 3 at least?
Yeah, I would say
3 to 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, he's also one of your own. I don't know. This feels dirty. I don't like any of it.
If Ross was such a hot commodity, why didn't the Metsies go for him?
Because the Mets are a stupid organization.
That's cut and dry.
Well, they're all
top 10. Let's get to it.
Top
what
10. Well, we're finishing up my list here. Almost done. Top 10 things Dustin does in his car. So, I don't know if you remember last week, we said Joe Rogan, number 10. Listen to Joe Rogan. Number 9, decompress. Number 8 was Sing Country Roads
Number
by John
10,
Denver.
Where are you driving? Guatemala? Listen to Joe Rogan? I mean, seriously. That's a long road trip.
Take DMT.
Oh, man.
Number 7, Envy Cool Cars, even though I'm not a car
ever
guy.
Just see colors, bro?
No, you can taste colors. And then here's 6 and 5. These are the new ones. Number 6, play drums on my steering wheel. I don't have any musical ability. I don't know how to keep a beat. But you can bet I hammer that steering wheel when certain songs come on.
Yeah, let's just Google something, man. Play drums on a steering wheel. Yeah, absolutely. Number 5, what do you got?
Number 5, you know, I realized my parents visited like a month ago. and my mom sat in the back seat. It was the first time someone had been in the back seat of my car probably since I moved to Las Vegas. So when I drive around constantly, I'm always like, you know what? I don't even need a back seat. But then at the same time, I really want an SUV that has a third row for some reason. So I'm constantly contemplating, do I go two-seater or third row? I spend a lot of time debating this while I'm driving around in my car.
Like a Denali? You're going to get one of those big, yeah, you just, children and just you're rich?
One with a third row, not necessarily a Denali. I'm a big fan of the Kia Telluride. There's a new Hyundai Santa Fe coming out that looks awesome. Looks kind of like a Land Rover. Just something with that third row. Just like a big old boat to drive around.
All right. Good job, big guy. Tremendous.
You're welcome.
Like the Guatemala line.
That's what I mean. That is, number 10, that is a long road trip with a lot of diversions. I hope you have ways for that conversation.
Not a lot of fact checking going on, though.
Well, it is literally during the show, Googling. What are you going to do? All right, fellas, enjoy Monday Night Football. Where does the game stand? Is it exciting? Do you care about this matchup tonight, either of you?
2017 JETS.
I care about it if Eckler goes over that total.
Yeah, we do. We both hammered that. Okay, boys, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.